Amen. The just shall live by faith. Man, I like that sound system. I can hear myself. Not bad for a deaf man, is it? All right. Good to be here in Faith Baptist. I appreciate your pastor letting me do this. I told him I'd help him anytime I can. I live in Moyock now. And somebody asked me, how you doing in North Carolina? I said, well, I've began to talk a little slower so people can understand me. Actually, I'm back to my roots. Francis Godfrey was born in Suffolk, England in 1608. That would have really been a long time ago. And he came to Perquimans County and helped settle New Hope. You know where New Hope is? It's right near here. You go there, there's more Godfreys per acre than any other place in the country. And he settled there with his two sons, John and George. And I came from the George side, not the John, though my name's John. And so if you go to New Hope, you'll find there's a Godfrey Cemetery, and I guess they're my relatives. I don't know. So I'm back to my roots. So I just, at 70 years old, we moved back to North Carolina. So we're back home, I guess. But it's good to be here and good to be in this church. I appreciate your pastor. Open your Bibles, if you will, please, to Proverbs 29, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1. Someone has said that sin will take you further than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, okay? It will. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay and cost you more than you want to pay. This verse is a warning. Would you stand with me in respect to God's word as we read this one verse? He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Let me give you the commentary on that verse. Let me quote it again. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Proverbs 1 gives you a commentary on that verse. Notice what it says. Verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorner delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Boy, that's a sober passage, isn't it? That's a commentary on Proverbs 29:1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Sin's a bad thing, folks. It's not something to play with. And most Christians are playing spiritual roulette with sin. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the warnings in the Bible, Lord, because I know they're there because you love us. And Lord, you know how devastating sin is to our lives. And I pray that you just protect these people and prepare these people and meet their needs. And Lord, if there's one here that's wrestling with an issue, I pray that you'd help them to get victory. If there's one without Christ, may they submit to your grace and your love and trust the only sacrifice that will take care of sin. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You ever heard of body language? Solomon uses body language here. Either being often reproved, hardeneth his neck. shall suddenly be destroyed and not without remedy. Brother Halsey was telling me, he was preaching a missions conference years ago. He's in heaven now. I buried him Christmas a year ago. He was my pastor. He preached 52 years ago when I got saved. I'll never forget. He said, John, he said, I was preaching in a missions conference. And I was sitting beside the pastor, and there was a good old boy out there, and he was just amening everything I said. And he said, the first night, I just kind of laid the foundation. And he said, and Brother Halsey said, he turned to the pastor, he said, I like that guy. I'm going to preach to him. He said, preacher, as soon as you mention money, you'll clip his wings. And the next night he preached on giving, and that guy went. You ever seen somebody when you say something they don't like, they go? Let me tell you something, folks. A stiff neck is an outward sign and signal of a hard heart. I believe Pharaoh did it 10 times to his own destruction. I want us to take a look at this. You see, Solomon uses this body language here to illustrate the rejection of spiritual correction. Let me give you a spiritual diagnosis. If you were exposed to the truth of God's word this week or in the past, and if you did not take God's medicine, you have built up a strong resistance to God's cure for you. It gets easier and easier and easier. See, the word without remedy in the passage, it's marpe. That don't mean anything to you, but it means incurable. Incurable. You go too far. You resist too much to the point that you sear your conscience towards that sin and you've excused it away. You say, I know Christians that do worse. What's that got to do with what God deals with you about? Our response to God when he deals with us is very, very important. We're rebels from birth. Did you know that? We go astray as soon as we be born speaking lies, the psalmist says. We don't like to be told we're wrong. We seek to justify our actions rather than change them. We justify our sins. Did you hear about the pastor's wife that bought a $250 dress? And they were poor as, you know, it could be. They couldn't afford it. And she came home and told her husband, and he said, I can't believe you did that. He said, you know our situation. She said, I know. She said, and all I was going to do is try it on. And she said, I put it on and looked in the mirror, and it's like the devil whispered, boy, you look great in that. And he said, well, you know how you deal with the devil, don't you? You say, get thee behind me, Satan. She said, you know, I did that. I said, get thee behind me, Satan. He said, looks great back here too. You know, we come up with all kinds of excuses for our sin, don't we? We excuse it. So we have a warning here. Folks, it is a very dire warning. And the commentary on that is simply verses 22 through 33 in Proverbs 1. And I call that passage the fed up passage. Where God says, okay, you're going to keep on doing it. I've dealt with you over and over again. I've dealt with you. Now I'm going to turn you over to that sin. He will turn you over to your wine. He will turn you over to your drugs. He will turn you over to your pornography. He will turn you over to your lying. He'll turn you over to your cheating, and you'll reap what you sow. I'm glad I got to farm as a boy. I learned so much. You can't understand the Bible if you don't understand gardening and farming. You reap what you sow. You reap where you sow. You reap more than you sow, but you always reap after you sow. And you see, Adam didn't eventually die immediately when he partook of the forbidden fruit, but he did start the process of death, and it did happen, and you're benefiting from it today, if you want to call it a benefit, its effectiveness. Verse 33 says, therefore, okay, now you're hurting, this sin's got a grip on you, and you're crying unto me, but I've already set in motion what the plan is to teach you. I've tried to teach you. You've listened to the preacher. I've spoken through him. You didn't listen. I'm laughing at you now because you are just reveling in your sin, and it's not very fun. He says, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. You know what he says? I'm going to let your sin teach you. That's hard, folks. When God laughs at your calamity and says, no, I've already put you into course 101 sin, and I'm not going to intercede. I'm going to let it teach you. I'm going to let the prodigal go all the way to the hog pen. I'm going to let you get the food that the hog eats in your stomach and in your nostrils until you decide that you got a father that could feed you. Even the hired servants do better. He let the prodigal go all the way to the hog pen and let his sin teach him. And he got right. That's the hard way. Best way is to heed what God says immediately when he touches your life. The warning is simple. Unchecked sin leads to irreversible consequences. Unchecked sin leads to irreversible consequences. Cheryl Tillman was a 13-year-old, 14-year-old teenager in my first church. I hadn't started pastoring very long, 1978. I was 28 years old. And I'll never forget, she would sit in the back and she would just stare. Just stare. Wasn't anything that this young girl hadn't done. Parents were not disciplinarians, let her do what she wanted to. And she went to public school and she got birth control pills from the nurse without telling the parents. And her dad found them. He finally spanked her. He got in trouble. She went to social services. I came to the church. I talked to her for 2 hours. She just stared at me. We went to court. They were scared to call me. I told them, I said, let's put her in Lester Roloff's home. They were beside themselves. They didn't know what to do. Because they had taken her out of the home. And we had a plan, but because the state didn't want to send her to a Christian home, they sent her to Richmond to a home. She ran away from there, married a boy. Then she rebelled against him. And one night at 18 years old, she was driving probably on something down a back road, and she wrapped a car around an oak tree and she went out into eternity. He and she, being often reproved, hardeneth her neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I've never forgot about that. The first death in a church where I pastored was someone who would not heed, just hard, beautiful girl. But hard. You see, there is a progression in the verse. You have God's reproof, man's resistance, and sin's recourse. You see, God reproves us to convince us of sin. Man's resistance is to be calloused by that sin. And sin's recourse is to be destroyed by that sin. Let's look at God's reproof. He that being often reproved. Reproved comes from a primitive root, yakal. It means to judge, convince, argue, or correct. Three things about God's reproof this morning. God deals with us when we sin. Aren't you glad? Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son. Hebrews 6:12, whom the Lord loveth, he cherishes. Now, only a fool would argue with God about sin. Solomon said this, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes in the back of a fool. You see, folks, you're going to obey someone. You may obey your own heart. You may obey a person who's trying to lead you astray, or you're going to obey God. You may listen to a godly Sunday school teacher or the pastor, or you'll listen to someone else. Listen, our own heart is the worst place for communicating about our sin. You know why? Because we do a cover-up. That's what David wrote in Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Do you know why he prayed that prayer? Not because he was saying, I don't have anything in there, God. He was saying, I'm not really sure. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, try the reins. Tell you something, folks. When God does an x-ray on your heart, he mirrors exactly what's there. He doesn't do a cover-up. And you say, well, that person's got a good heart. They may have a tender heart that's sensitive to people, but none of us have a good heart, because if that was true, we wouldn't need salvation. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. It's out of the heart. And so, God deals with us when we sin. Aren't you glad he does that? He that being often reproved. Let me tell you something. If you can sin and God doesn't deal with you to some degree, you need to check up. You're illegitimate. The Bible uses the word bastard. It's not a word we like to use, but it means illegitimate. If you can sin, if God doesn't chasten you when you sin, he said, you're bastards and not sons. Wow. Now, I knew who Raymond Dudley Godfrey Jr. was. He was a red-headed Irishman when he had hair, weighed about 235 pounds. He's about my height, and I called him Daddy. And you didn't want to tangle with him. I mean, I knew who my daddy was. Because nobody took a belt to me, but my daddy did. And when he did, I needed it. And the fact that I knew that he would do that kept me from that belt a whole lot. You see, the truth of the matter is, God deals with us. My daddy dealt with me because he loved me. But also, God deals with us more than one time. He that being often reproved. God reproves us, but often. Aren't you glad God gives you second chances? He that being often reproved. Know the element of time. In Proverbs 1:22, he says, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? What does that mean? It means that you're simple, just basically naive. You sin, God reproves you, and act like it's not going to have any consequences. James chapter 1, verse 22. Be a doer of the word and not hearers only. He that hears the word and doesn't do it, he's likened to a man who looks in a glass, a mirror, and he leaves and acts like he didn't see anything. Now, I'm just giving you not a direct quote. In other words, when you look into the perfect law of liberty, it mirrors back to you what you are, and you say, Now, folks, I got up this morning. That's a real experience. And I looked in a mirror. That's another experience. And I had to wash my face. I had to wet down my hair. You know what a pillow head is? I have good pillow heads. My hair. Now, my hair is in place now, I hope. But the bottom line is, in the mornings, I wrestle with my pillow. Man, my head, I don't even look like the same person. It was not a pretty thing. And if I had not agreed with the mirror, you'd have a hard time looking at me this morning. I mean, I had a hard time. I mean, I had my first downer in the morning is looking in the mirror. But I've learned to trust that mirror, that something has to be done. And when God reflects back to me what I am, when it's not consistent with his word, I know something has to be done. And that's what he's talking about here. Psalm 4, verse 2. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity? Aren't you glad that God is patient with us? Pharaoh did get 10 chances, didn't he? To repent. But his rejection took a toll. And by the way, Cecil B. DeMille, I think Ten Commandments is the best movie ever made. They don't have stuff like that today. But he was wrong. Pharaoh went into the Red Sea also. Now, I like the way he did it, Because I like when Pharaoh's wife came to him, and she was supposed to be a lover of Moses beforehand, and she said, I gave you a knife. Where's the blood of Moses? And he sits on his throne. He says, Moses' God is God. Now, I like that, but it's inaccurate. Pharaoh and his whole army went into the Red Sea, and he died too. And it was 10 opportunities. 10 opportunities. God gave him 10 chances. And you know, it says that Pharaoh, God hardened his heart, but in a number of times there in the series of things that he was presented, the plagues, it says Pharaoh hardened his heart. God only hardened his heart because he gave him another chance. And that's what happens here in Proverbs 29. He that being often reproved, that's God's grace to us. What you do with it determines how hard your heart gets. So God deals with us more than one time. God deals with us, but also God does not violate our will. Now, I know the Calvinist says you don't make any decisions. They're already made for you. Well, I'm sorry. That misrepresents the love of God. The Bible says, whosoever will, let him come and partake of the water of life freely. Faith is not a gift that God gives some people and he doesn't give it to others. Faith is your response to the prodding of the Holy Spirit when you hear the word of God. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't deal with us. He does. When the word is preached, you either say yes or no. And based upon what you do in response to it determines how far you go. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so the truth of the matter is how we respond to the truth. You will make up your own mind about sin. You have the option to receive or reject God's counsel about sin. God reasons with sinners. Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. First verse I taught my fourth grade class when I got out of East Tennessee State. Started teaching in a Christian school before God called me to preach. That's the first verse that I taught them. What a plea. Why come now? Because our sin is scarlet. Because God's holiness, he can make us white as snow. Now, folks, let me just explain something to you. We get this thing of religion mixed up with righteousness. You see, I'm not religious. I've been made righteous. I have a relationship. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For God hath made him, Christ, sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Do you understand that I am as perfect as Jesus Christ this morning? No, not in my actions, not in my abilities, not in my potential. In my standing, in my position, I have been declared righteous by God. You can't add anything to that. You can't get into heaven unless you're perfect. And you're not going to be perfect. You can't buy it. You can't work for it. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, Titus 3:5. What am I saying? It makes our sin that scarlet white as snow. I don't deserve that. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And because of God's cleansing, we shall be as wool. It's interesting, isn't it? Good verse. So God's reproof. But then we see man's resistance. Man's resistance. He hardeneth his neck. The word hardeneth, caution, to show stubbornness. We show stubbornness when we are rebuked, don't we? Continual resistance against God's will is a stiff neck. This is the heart communicating with the body language. Did you get that? It's the heart communicating with body language. Pharaoh is the classic example. God gave him 10 gracious reproofs, and he hardened his heart until he was destroyed. Now, the plagues increased from inconvenience to pain to loss to death. They go like this: blood in the water. That is an inconvenience. Frogs in the oven and in your bed. Lice on your skin, flies, moran, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and then death. You see the progression of it? God was gracious to Pharaoh. He said, did God know how he was going to respond? Oh yeah, he knows. God knows all things. But he graciously dealt with him over and over again. Now, I don't know about you. It wouldn't have taken much for me to say, hey, you Jews, get out of here. We don't want blood in our water. I mean, the only reason he did what he did is he hardened his heart. And I'm not so sure when a person gets a hard heart that their understanding is very fluid. So continued resistance against God's will is a stiff neck. To resist spiritually or spiritual correction makes us vulnerable to the dangers of sin. Shall suddenly be destroyed. Isn't that what he said? You know, some people think, well, I'm going to get right one day. Really? You going to pick and choose your time? You think you are? Only one deathbed conversion in the Bible, and that man died on the cross. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all die. But we shall all be changed. In the moment of a twinkling of an eye, the last trump. But a trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Let me tell you something. In the moment of a time, moment is atomos. That's the word. It's the smallest measure of time. Somebody said that I'll run a Chevrolet. It will. Kodak, flash of a camera, 11 one-thousandths of a second. It's faster than that. Blink your eye. You know anybody can get right with God that quick? You probably can't see my eye blinking it. That's too quick. You can't pick your time. The only time that you need to understand is when God reproves you and convinces you of sin, you need to deal with it right then. And that's what this verse is all about. Shall suddenly be destroyed. You're vulnerable to the dangers of it. Proverbs 1:27 says, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. That's a cyclone. You know, they give you the warnings on TV. It says, Eastern North Carolina is going to get hit by 30 mile an hour winds and hail, and there may be some tornadoes that pop out of it. You never know where those things are going to set down. You don't know if they're going to hop over your house or run right through your house. It's funny. It hits this house, bounces over, and misses yours and hits somebody else's. It's crazy. It's like a cyclone. You don't know when you're going to get trapped. In chapter 29, the same chapter in verse 6, notice what it says. In the transgression, literally in his rebellion, smear, mokash, to trap. Look at Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 6. It says this. In the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare. But the righteous does sing and rejoice. There's a snare, like you catch a rabbit. And so you don't know. So you have God's reproof, man's resistance, but then you have sin's recourse. Sin's recourse. The Bible teaches that be sure your sin will find you out. Let me read you a story. This was a shocking change of heart. According to the Moody Monthly, a brilliant young man once wrote, our heart, reason, history, and the work of Christ convince us that without him, we cannot achieve our goal, that without him, we are doomed by God, and only Christ can save us. That's a pretty good statement for a 17-year-old, isn't it? These thoughts of a mere 17-year-old revealed spiritual wisdom beyond his age and insights that few attained. He had been baptized at age 6 in the Lutheran Church in 1824 and was confirmed at 16. Now he graduated from high school. He had been required to write an essay on a religious subject. He chose to explore the subject of the union of believers with Christ according to the Gospel of John. He explained that the fruit of our union with Christ is our willingness to sacrifice ourselves for our fellow men. And the joy which the Epicureans in their superficial philosophy sought in vain is a joy known only to the innocent heart united with Christ and through Christ to God. So wrote the young Karl Marx, writer of the Communist Manifesto. But by 1844, just 9 years later, he had abandoned any Christian commitment he may have once had. In fact, his new ideas established him as one of the most influential atheists of history. Worse, his ideas spawned through the former Soviet Union and communist movement one of the greatest epics of human misery and death in history. You say, explain that. Well, probably in the Lutheran church, he had religion and not Christianity. But it just shows the change of heart. After being hearing over and over the truth and even writing truths that are true, yet he resisted. Well, what is sin's recourse? And that without remedy, a point of no return. There is a line that a person crosses. When that occurs, God gives us up to our sins, and that's what Proverbs 1 says. I don't know when that is. I don't know when that is. That's all between God and the sinner. But there's a point where God gives a person over to their sin, and they are just tied to their sin. Proverbs 5 talks about man getting involved with a strange woman. He shall be tied with the cords of his sin, and it won't be broken. That's a scary thing. You know, we talk about somebody getting on crack cocaine. Crack cocaine, you can take it one time and become addicted. Most sin is not like that. I had a brother, Mike Edwards, a dear friend of mine. He preached in chapel years ago for our teens. And he had one of the boys come up and he took a rope and he used Proverbs 5. He said, now addiction is funny because you smoke one cigarette, you're probably not addicted. You drink one beer, you're probably not addicted. But everybody starts somewhere. And he came up and he laid a rope on his arms. He said, now you just went out and drank, first time, smoked, dope, whatever. Can you get loose? Yeah. So he decided to do it again. Then he wrapped that string around him a little bit further. He said, can you get out? He said, oh yeah. He did that about 3 or 4 times. He kept wrapping, he could get out. Then he finally tied a knot after about the 6th time, and he tried to get out and he couldn't get out. You should be tied with the cords of your sin. Do you see what I'm saying? The devil will use your body against you. And rain falls on the just and the unjust. And just as sure as a lost person can become addicted to alcohol, you can too. And by the way, folks, everybody starts with a social drink. That's a bunch of baloney. Amen. And by the way, if you don't look at it, you can't drink it. If I've noticed, you walk down the aisle, I don't walk down there. I came from a drinking, fighting family. I understand that. I don't walk down the aisle. I can do it now. The wine is the most beautiful stuff in the grocery store. You realize you got more wine in the grocery store than you do baby food? Proverbs 23 says, look not on the wine when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. Why? That's fermentation. For at the last, it stingeth like an adder, biteth like a serpent. Who hath woe? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long in the wine. They that go to seek mixed wines. Thine heart shall utter perverse things. You'll look at strange women. You shall be like he that lieth upon the top of a mask. I was stricken and I felt it not. Till the next day. When shall I awake? I'll seek it yet again. Addiction. Don't look at it. You know what the compromising Baptists today say about social drinking? That's talking about getting drunk. No, it says don't look at it. Don't even look at it. You know why? Because it's prettier than Coca-Cola. Have you ever noticed that sin's always prettier than just good things? I mean, tea's not pretty, but it tastes good. Apple cider, I mean, it's prettier, but the truth of the matter is, wines are all different colors, beautiful. And they're the prettiest bottles. Have you noticed that? Don't be deceived. Sin is always dressed up. Satan will come to you dressed as an angel of light. Hollywood's got some most beautiful, intelligent, articulate people going in the wrong direction. And you shouldn't envy them because their lives are miserable and broken because they don't have a clue what it is about the consequences of sin. This is true of sexual addiction, Proverbs 5, alcoholism. You can read it. It goes on. Friend, God is not mocked. You reap what you sow. Notice how God gets the last laugh, not the rebel. Proverbs 1:26, God says, I'll laugh at your calamity. God became sarcastic towards our calamities, and he laughs. He is silent when we call. Then shall they call, but I will not answer. God becomes scarce when we seek for him. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Sin follows this course in a person's experience. It defiles, it desensitizes, then it dominates, then it destroys. James chapter 1. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's the process of temptation. Now, what am I saying? What does the verse say to us? Stop taking God's grace for granted when he deals with you. The most vulnerable person who hears God's word preached every week and does not respond is somebody sitting in an independent fundamental Baptist church who's playing spiritual roulette with a sin. All of us struggle with some sin. But God can give us victory over it. But you got to take a step into light. And then secondly, stop playing around with pet sins. God is not willing to let you live with that sin. God will turn you over to that sin. You won't know that you have crossed that line of no return until you hit that oak tree like Cheryl Tillman did in my first church. It's time to stop playing spiritual roulette with sin. The muscles in our neck may be tightening, getting tense due to the callousness of our heart. That's a good warning, folks. All of us wrestle with sin. I'm not putting you down. All of us wrestle with sin. But we need to hear what God has to say, and we need to respond. He that being often reproved, hardened his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. God's speaking to your heart about a sin. You know, I'm afraid we're like my brother and I when we were little boys. My daddy built a separate garage, two-car garage. He was a builder. He worked as a commercial carpenter for 51 years. He built that thing and two-stall garage detached from the house. And he didn't have anybody help him. We were just junior A boys, and he would drop a nail and he wouldn't pick it up. So there's a lot of nails laying around outside that building where he built it. So he brought home a mat. That thing must have weighed 10 pounds. Just a big old piece of metal. It was a magnet. And he said, boys, I'm going to tie a rope around here. I want y'all to get inside this thing and run around. Just go round and round and round. They would yank those nails right out of the ground, man. And we'd pick it up. But we decided we were going to play with it. We decided we'd go inside and we would take a nail and lay it. And we'd take that magnet and we'd get a hold of it. And we'd get as close as we could. When that magnet started drawing that nail, we'd yank it back. We never could beat that magnet. Because we weren't strong enough to yank 10 pounds back quick enough. Because when that magnet said, come to me, it was done. And folks, I'm afraid we play with sin the same way. And we think we're not going to get caught. You know, if nobody knows, if your spouse doesn't know, your parents don't know, your preacher don't know, your Sunday school teacher don't know, God knows, and you got caught already. Old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, young people, you always get caught in your character. And if you get caught in your character one day, your spiritual life will be tied to it. Let's pray. Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Maybe this is between you and God. I understand that. You say, preacher, pray for me. I'm struggling. I would not be surprised. I would not think ill of you. I understand that. Preacher, pray for me. I need to get victory in some areas. God bless you. God bless you. Just hold your hand up and take it down. It's just between you and God. I'm not surprised. My soul. I struggle. Anyone else? Maybe you're here and you're struggling about salvation. You don't need to do that. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. It's done. You just need to surrender to him and say, I'm going to trust you and you only. And you may have never done that. You may be playing church and religion. You may have grown up in it and never trusted Christ. I don't know. You say, preacher, pray for me. I struggle with that. I don't know if I'm really his child or not. Would you let me pray for you? Anyone like that? Just slip your head up and take it down. I don't know.